Hey, Mr. Bartender, please don't be so slow. I got time for one more round and a six-pack to go. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a six-pack to go. I've been drinking all day long, taking in the town. I've done spent my whole paycheck just a honky-tonking round. I don't have enough to pay my rent, I ain't gonna worry though. I got time for one more round and a six-pack to go. Bartender, please don't be so slow. I got time for one more round and a six-pack to go. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a six-pack to go. I've been drinking all day long, pack to go.
Coon. Well, raccoon's trying to get on our back porch. Mom just chased him off with a broom.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. Childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind.
Hi everyone, remember me? This is Amy. If you haven't noticed, I've taken a short hiatus from my show. I'll be back on a steady schedule in the early fall though. As for now, I'll be on Monday evenings only at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. I won't forget about you, so please don't forget about me.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, Join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 20th of July, a Wednesday. And, boy, a lot's been going on here. The Republican National Convention and all the trimmings going on here in the last day or two. Kind of interesting. I was going to say exciting. I'm not sure about that, but it is interesting. Matter of fact, there's a sound clip I'm going to play you here in a little bit that doesn't have anything to do with the convention, but it does have to do with Trump. I thought it might be interesting to some of you. But, yeah, Doc, I was a little disappointed in Ted Cruz. I was a lot disappointed. You know, he ran, he got beat, got the ever-loving hell beat out of him. And it showed it very classless of him not to endorse Trump. I just don't get that. I don't see. It's over my head, I guess. I'm just not smart enough to figure it out. Anyway, this weekend we've got a rifle class coming up. Following weekend I'll be in Utah. Following weekend I'll be in Tucson. Following weekend I'll be in New Mexico. And the following weekend, the 20th of August, we got another rifle class here. And weekend of the 27th, I don't know for sure, but I've got the next 4 weeks tied up pretty tight here, so I won't be out chasing the pretty girls and all that on weekends. But actually, Amy kind of restricts that anyway, so it's not really a big deal. There is a lot of stuff going on. We've got a no particular order here. This one's pretty important and very, very fresh. This is about, some of you may have heard of Joe Robertson. Joe Robertson is an older guy, 77 years old, disabled veteran, had built some stock ponds, or a stock pond, on his property. And the BLM has taking him to court over it. They had a 3.5-hour hearing today, which was canned. It was everything was already decided. Everything was written out, you know, before the judge even heard any of this stuff. Unbelievable. So this 77-year-old man, disabled veteran, was sentenced to 18 months in jail. 3 years probation, permanent loss of his Second Amendment rights. His service dog, Sasha, is heartbroken and doesn't know what to do. And this whole thing was just, talk about a kangaroo court. I'm just beside myself. I don't even, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about this. It just, it's absurd to me. And why, and I'll tell you, the Second Amendment right thing, he was interviewed by John Jacob Schmidt over at Radio Free Redoubt. And John said, JJ, we call him, JJ said, the old man didn't say anything, Mr. Robertson didn't say anything. JJ said something to the effect of, I don't know how he put it, but he said something to the effect of, you know, if this, government doesn't get straightened out here pretty soon, you know, people may feel that they need to resort to the Second Amendment. And that's all that was said. That wouldn't have been illegal if he was talking to a Supreme Court justice. But because Joe was on the radio show, Joe Robertson, because of that comment, Joe is going to, they said that the Forest Service officials heard the threats. Threats? Threats? You kidding me? Forest Service heard it, and said that, I guess it's Forest Service instead of BLM, I'm sorry, said that Joe had threatened the Forest Service, and they said it had a chilling effect on them. Big sissies. So this was to imply that the that Joe was somehow a danger to society. And all over these stock ponds, which had nothing to do with guns, no threats, no nothing. So somebody heard a radio show, and I doubt very seriously they even heard the radio show. You know, one person might have and used it to do the to railroad Robertson. So as the they're charging him $130,000 for the damage that he created. These ponds were for fire, you know, wildfire control. That's all that that's all they were for. Maybe to water the cows or whatever. So what? Mountain Shooter. I am very well aware that Forest Service and BLM are not the same thing. They are two heads of the same snake, though. They're two peas in a pot. Not any different. They just have different letters in. So they stripped him of his Second Amendment rights for his entire life. Of course, he's 77 years old, but still, I'm sure he would have liked to go elk hunting or something here when he gets out. Told him he was... Now, this. Listen to this. Pay very careful attention here. Told him he was not to be with anyone that had guns. Okay, I get that. He's not supposed to be around guns then. But this is what kills me. He is not allowed to have any surveillance equipment, recording devices, or other protection, for his recording conversations with cops or anything, other protection at his home or on his person, as they might interfere with the police. They took the old man straight out of the courtroom in handcuffs. Didn't allow him to tell his wife goodbye or pet his dog or nothing. And I swear I don't understand this. I don't get it at all. I don't see how in the world these people are getting away with this. I mean, there's always been, even though they have blatantly disregarded the Constitution for years, there's always been a little bit of restraint, a little bit of kind of going at it a little bit more carefully, knowing that somebody was going to say it was unconstitutional or whatever. But now they don't care. They just don't care. They're blowing through this like and all this stuff going on with the Black Lives Matter and everything. People killed, cops killed, and they still won't declare them a terrorist organization. And we have guys in Oregon that were staging a peaceful protest. Yes, they took over a federal building. They were given the keys to it, and they went. They cleaned it up. They let the Indians up there know that their artifacts were being used for doorstops and down in a dank, dark, wet, musty basement and everything. They clean things up. We have pictures and video of them cleaning these places. But Lavoie Finicum was educating people, and we cannot be having that. We cannot allow a man or a group to go out and educate people in the ways of the Constitution or your rights, your freedom, the founding fathers, you know, any of that kind of stuff. No, we can't be having that. That is diametrically opposed to what we are, to what we stand for and what we are trying to do. And we will not stand for people learning about this stuff, educating people about this. We just won't stand for it. We will kill you. We will murder you in your tracks with your hands in the air if you do try to do that anymore. We'll lock you up with basically with no due process. We'll kill your dog. We'll kill your cows. We'll burn your house down. What in the hell is going on here? Yeah, they're protecting and serving you to death. I'm astonished, flabbergasted. I don't know. I never thought I would see my country get to this point. Well, I guess that's not true. We've been expecting it and seeing it come here for some time, but I guess up until, you know, 10 years ago or more, I never thought that I would see this type of stuff happen. So, you know, there's another vaguely similar event that happened in, I think it was, what was it, Connecticut? No, Massachusetts? Hang on a second, let me find it here. Just thought about this, but I think it is a relevant case here. Hang on. Maybe this is it. Yeah, here we go. Now, and this is another one that I really don't see how they're getting away with this. A federal appeals court today ruled that Texas's strict voter law, voter ID law, violates the Voting Rights Act and ordered changes before the election. Now, this has been going on since 2011. But now, they've got to have this changed now before this election. Why? Well, if you have to ask, you've kind of not been paying attention here. This is so that the have-nots will vote against the haves. It's for the minorities that the Democratic Party and all these programs are supporting, so that they can come in out of nowhere, walk across an international boundary, and cast a vote without. They're scared. The Democrats are scared. I better not say that. But their head honcho in charge up there in Washington is scared to death that the reins are going to be turned over to a Republican, and that they cannot be having that. It's just not going to work for them. And there's another one. Same thing. This was is in Massachusetts. The Attorney General in Massachusetts has banned sales of all new assault weapons as of today, 20 July 2016, Wednesday today. They've banned any look-alike AR-15. If there's any removable features, let's say you screw on a muzzle adapter of some kind, or you put on a certain type of stock or handguard or whatever, stick a 5-round magazine in it or something, anything like that. If it can be, without the use of tools, Well, no, it doesn't say that. If it can be changed, if this stuff can be removed and put back in place and make this AR-15 an AR-15 again, the gun is illegal. Here's another. Says they sell guns without a flash suppressor or folding or telescoping stock. Any little tweaks like that would do nothing to limit the lethality of the weapon, they say. Mountain Shooter, that's in Massachusetts. They have just stepped up here and signed the document and said, no more. That's it. You're done. As of today, we're not doing this anymore. They are pushing really, really hard. And nobody's pushing back. I don't know how far it will go before people will push back. I don't know if we ever will. Doesn't appear that way. I don't know why they continue to try to push us over the edge and make somebody go over the edge. Step out of line. They have got to know that all of this stuff is causing a lot of hate and discontent in this country. And there in Peanut Rider, you're right. I know they're scared to death. But evidently we are too. The Massachusetts Attorney General goes on to say to reassure people that the gun buyers who've purchased a copy or a duplicate assault rifle, that she's not coming for her guns, at least not yet. She said, the Attorney General said, we recognize that most residents who purchased these guns in the past believe they were doing so legally, so this directive will not apply to possession of guns purchased before Wednesday. In the dozen years since the federal assault weapons ban lapsed, only 7 states have instituted their own assault weapons ban. You know, that should tell you something right there. If there's 43 states that haven't, then and the 7 that have are all out in the same area, with the exception of California, that should say something about the idiocy of these assault weapons bans. Many of those bans have been challenged unsuccessfully by the gun industry, and we anticipate our directive may be too. But our job is to enforce state laws and to keep people safe. This directive does both. In the face of utter inaction by Congress, states have a duty to enact and enforce laws that protect people from gun violence. If Washington won't use its power to get these guns off our streets, we will. Not only do we have the legal authority to do so, we have a moral obligation to do so. No, you don't, actually. Massachusetts law says that their definition of assault weapon here shall have the same meaning as the semi-automatic assault weapon as defined in the Federal Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Use Protection Act, as appearing in such section on September 13, 1994, and shall include but not be limited to any of the weapons or copies or duplicates of weapons of any caliber known as, and then it goes through here and lists them, AK and Galil and Beretta AR-70 and AR-15 and FNs and Intertechs and all that kind of stuff. And revolving cylinder shotguns such as, or so, and then it just keeps listing. Just basically goes over the 1994 assault weapons ban definitions there. So, I don't know why I bother even mentioning this. I don't know why we even talk about it. All of the petitions, they're not paying attention to paper, to names on a list. They're not paying attention to phone calls and emails and that kind of stuff. So I don't know what it's going to take. There is a little bit of good news, and I really doubt that it's good news. What I suspect is that this is just more eyewash. The FBI agents that did some of the first shooting in the Lavoie Finneka murder, they are under criminal investigation right now for possible misconduct. But why do they bother? Why do they keep pissing on us and telling us it's raining? It floors me. I just don't get it. Well, I don't know. This is a very melancholy night for me, I guess I would say, because there are so many things that it goes on to show the autopsy reports and the whole nine yards here, and there was no question that the FBI agents shot. The question is, why didn't they disclose that to the county sheriff that investigated this? It was from another county. So I can't help but think that they fired those first two shots because they know psychologically. They know that all these cops are on edge. They're looking for an excuse. They're looking for a reason. And when they hear those first shots, the FBI fired the very first shots. One of them went through the cab of the truck, the very top, the roof of the truck. The other one, I don't remember where it went. But as soon as they did that, then they were just looking. You know, they were just shaking in their boots, and some of them have probably already peed their pants just a little bit from the excitement and the fear that Lavoie Finneka might strike them down. You know, using the hand of God to strike them where they stand, and I'm sure that's what their problem was. But I think that the FBI knew a little bit of psychology there. If they fired the first shots after he got out of the truck, that it may not be long before, you know, it wouldn't take much for somebody else to shoot. I don't know. That's just a swag on my part. All right, well, I can't stand it anymore, so we're going to take a little break. I'll be back in a minute.
Send me the pillow that you dream on. Don't you know that I still care for you? Send me the pillow that you dream on. So tired and I can dream on it too. Each night while I'm sleeping, oh so lonely, I'll share your love and dreams that once were true. Send me the pillow that you dream on, so darling I can dream on it too. Send me the pillow that you dream on. Maybe time will let us. dreams come true. Send me the pillow that you dream on, so darling I can dream on it too.
I've waited so long for you to write me, but just a memory's all that's left.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple. But this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Alright, we're back. I want you to listen to this clip. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook or somewhere, but I think that it's very, very telling. The title to this, I thought, oh boy, they finally found something, or they want us to believe that they found something on Trump. And it says a female African-American executive finally breaks her silence about working for Donald Trump. And then a little farther down it says, will this change the election results? So here I'm thinking, okay, they found somebody, they got a rape or whatever. And it came out a month or so ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. But it's pretty good. And I'm going to play it here right quick. It's only, I don't know, it's 3 or 4 minutes long.
Today I was compelled to sit down and write this letter. Not to anyone in particular, maybe even just for myself. But as a black female executive at the Trump Organization, I can no longer remain silent about the repeated and reprehensible attempts to align my boss and his family with racist hate-mongering groups, campaigns, and messaging. As the daughter of a man born in Birmingham, Alabama, who rose against all odds to become one of the most established and respected doctors at Yale University, there is no amount of money in the world that could buy my loyalty to a family that subscribed to such intolerant and bigoted ideologies. The Trump family that I know is, without question, one of the most generous, compassionate, and philanthropic families I've ever had the privilege of knowing and the honor to call friends. They have been incredibly loyal to me and to the countless dedicated people they employ around the world, hiring more minority and female executives than any other company for which I've ever worked. To equate racism with my boss's call for a temporary moratorium on a flawed immigration system that radical Islamic terrorists continue to exploit, or the construction of an impassable wall to protect our borders from the influx of illegal drugs, is not only incendiary, it's wholly irresponsible and only serves to embolden the very hatred these draconian groups espouse. What common sense American wants another terrorist attack on our soil, or to perpetuate this country's rampant drug epidemic? But to compare my boss to Adolf Hitler, simply to spin your own political agenda or social media punchline, is a personal affront to the extermination of over 6 million Jews and trivializes one of the worst acts of human genocide this world has ever seen. Rest assured, I am a highly intelligent, free-thinking, and independent woman. My opinions and decisions are based solely in fact, not fiction, speculation, assumption, or hearsay. I do not vote based upon the color of my skin, nor the signature on my paycheck. I judge my friends and forge my allegiances from direct personal interaction and moral character. That said, there is no higher barometer by which to measure oneself than the one continually set by this family and their spouses, and I should know. Like many Americans, I have struggled with substance abuse and addiction. The Trump family has stood by me through immensely difficult times without hesitation or concern for their own reputation by association. They continue to trust me with every aspect of their lives and the lives of their families. They invite me into their homes and welcome me at their family gatherings. For the past 6 years, I have held an executive position as it pertains to the distribution of their charitable funds, and they have charged me to identify worthy and altruistic missions. I could not be more humbled. This is the Trump family that I know. Only up until now, it's all just been opposing campaign rhetoric and paid protesters. But then, a letter came. And I thought to myself, who does this person think he is to threaten to kill somebody else's family? Any family. This family. My family. All because of a political race? A campaign? But then I realized that this isn't just a race to Mr. Trump. This isn't just a race to his family, nor to our veterans or the unemployed. And because of that, this family is willing to risk their own lives each and every day for the greater good of this country. But I would be lying if I said I didn't fear for them now. There is a movement sweeping this brave nation, and I am honored to have a front row seat to it on a daily basis. This country has spoken. My boss has justly earned the Republican nomination and broken voter registration records in countless states across America. This cannot be denied. He has brought this party together by drawing more Democrats, more independents, and more first-time voters into the GOP fold, and has earned more Republican votes than any other presidential candidate in modern history. That must be respected. To the skeptics who will undoubtedly claim that I'm doing this at the behest of the Trump family, or with the promise of reward, I deliberately chose not to seek their approval nor counsel in advance of this video for fear that they would be more concerned for me and its potential viral ramifications than they would be for themselves and the fact that, quite simply, this is the right thing to do. For me, it was an easy decision, just as voting for my boss, Donald J. Trump, should be an easy decision for you. God bless this family. God bless the voters, and God bless the United States of America.
You go, girl. I think that was a great video. It at this point, I can't imagine why anybody that claims to be a conservative in any manner would not vote for Trump. I could see why there were still other options out there. And in any other race in years past, maybe I could have agreed with you. But not this one. This, if we lose this one, is the end of liberty as we know it in this country. There will be at least a 7-2 majority in the Supreme Court. This is not just about the presidential election. This means that most of you that are listening to me right now, the majority of you, will never, ever again in your lifetime see a Supreme Court decision in our favor. Understand what I'm saying. You will die before you'll ever see the Supreme Court rule in our favor again. They'll put young justices in there, 25, 30, 40 years old, and they'll be there for 40 years or more. I don't understand. I get the same old tired crap about, you know, voting for the lesser of two evils. I understand all that. I've been there, done that. And I'm okay with that decision up until this year. We're sailing in uncharted waters right now. Donald Trump, other than stuff that they dig up as far as bankruptcies and his girlfriend being his wife being a strip, whatever in the hell she was, people change. There's not one of you listening that there's not something in your past that you're not going to get on the chat room and talk about. There's not one of you that doesn't have something in there somewhere that you wish would just go away, that nobody would ever find out. I know damn well I do. I'll be the first to tell you that. And we've kind of had this discussion before, but it's getting closer, and I think it's just time to have it again. Donald Trump can't be bought. Is he the best thing? Is he going to save the world? And with the, no. Unlikely. But I can say that if he does 10% of what he says he's going to do, we'll be 100% better off than we have been for the last 8 years. 500% better off. If he does only one or two things that he said he was going to do. And I tell you, I can't see. I don't know how he'll be in 8 years or 4 years or a year. I don't know. He has no record. He has no history. We've just seen Ted Cruz's true colors yesterday and today. I always liked a lot of the things Cruz said, but I had never committed to voting for him. All of these people and every politician, I won't say every politician, but a great many, the overwhelming majority, the vast and overwhelming majority of politicians, the longer they stay, the worse they get. Look at Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson out of New Mexico. I know Gary personally. I've talked to him several times. I've sat in the living room with him and visited with him. Today, I wouldn't piss on him if he's on fire. He has changed a lot. I don't want him in there as my president. Would he be better than Obama? Yes, he would. Better than Hillary? Absolutely. Is he what I want? No. I don't know for sure Donald Trump's what I want, but he is the guy that's there. You can throw your votes away. It's absolutely asinine to me to say, well, I'm going to still vote for Cruz, or I'm going to still vote for Ron Paul or whatever, because that's who I believe would be the best. Okay, then you voted for Hillary. Obviously you didn't cast a vote for Hillary, but you helped facilitate the win. We are, folks, in a war right now. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we're in a war. All over this country. This election is not your average election. The results of this election are not your average results. This is not going to be like when Obama got elected. It's not going to be like when Clinton got elected. It's not going to be like when Jimmy Carter got elected. We had hope at the end of the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel, after those people got out. We do not have any light at the end of this frickin' tunnel right now if
if Hillary gets in there. It's done. Don't you understand that? It's over. I can't believe that Trump went in there and has the entire nation. I looked at the delegates. He had 1,500 and something frickin' delegates in there. The closest one to him was Cruz with 437 or whatever it was. You can't convince me that that damn many people across this nation are all wrong. Yes, I will be voting for Trump. And if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. But as it stands right now, the only thing you can do is say, I told you so, I knew he would do it, and you'll be lying out your ass because you didn't know he would do it because there's nothing to know. You can assume, like I did with Bill Clinton, look in his eyes and say, boy, that's a crooked son of a gun right there. I can tell by looking at him beady little eyes. I don't want him, and that's all I need to see from him. So if you want to claim something like that, well, knock yourself out. Other than that, you have nothing to go on. We are in a fight for our life right now, for liberty in general. We will, it's for all practical purposes, a lot of it's gone already. But if Hillary gets in there, it'll be the final nail, and it's done. And if any of you are planning on voting for somebody other than Trump, I hope to hell you're proud of yourself when it's all over with. You know, beat your chest and say, oh yeah, I didn't vote for the lesser of two evils. I voted for some moron that had no freaking possibility whatsoever of getting in there. And when I did, all I did was take another vote away. You know, look at what the Supreme Court, or this, was it the Supreme Court? What we talked about a few minutes ago. They're changing Texas voting. Why Texas? Why Texas? Because, number one, they have the law. Number two, that's where 80 bazillion illegal Mexicans come across the border every week. And if they get that, then they change that right now, before November, what is that going to do for us? And you got somebody else say, well, I think I'll vote for Ron Paul because I'm a Paul bot, because I'm supposed to, and I'm programmed that way, and I'm just supposed to, you know, I've got to, because I was told that I've got to. I don't get it. Like I said, up until this year, I was with you, 100%. I was with you. I would write in Mickey Mouse before I would have voted for Clinton. At that point, it was a testing ground where we could see, you know, how many patriots would do this or that and vote for write people in. What was going to happen? You know, we're staging a little revolution here at the polls, and of course it didn't work. But we can't afford to be playing anymore this year. I just can't fathom anybody that considers themselves a freedom loving American. Someone who cherishes liberty and freedom. Someone who claims to be conservative, Republican, Libertarian, Constitutional Party, whatever in the hell. I cannot, in my wildest nightmares, imagine why you would not step up. And the deck is stacked against us, kids. I tell you what, Katie Brad, if I thought it would help right now, I would buy a damn 1911 and get rid of all my Glocks if I thought that would, if that would seal the deal to get Trump in there. I can get other Glocks later. This is the most serious thing that most of you have ever seen happen in this country. There has not been anything since 1776 that is going to be more and more important than this election. If it doesn't go the way we want it to, in ladles and jelly spoons, I can tell you that it's all over. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom